Good evening. This is your host, Raheem. We are live. Well, we're here to begin another show for you today, and this time we're going to, as you call in, we're going to open up the mic. So if you have questions or any comment that you want to make, you can go ahead and do so. But before we get started, I always like to start off the show talking about love. It's so important that we know how to love each other. One of the reasons in the communities we're not getting together and we're breaking up, our marriages don't last for a long time, that's because this culture has not taught us what love is. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what love is. Love is the act that makes others feel good. When Yahshua, whom we call Jesus, said, love your enemies, he wasn't talking about you getting emotional and googly-eyed over your enemy. He was talking about a way of treating your enemy. If you treat a person in a way that makes them feel good, eventually they won't be your enemies. But if you're constantly treating the person that upsets them, pushing their buttons, they will be your enemy. Remember when you first hooked up with your girlfriend or your wife or your husband, you know, and or your boyfriend, y'all would treat each other so well. You was buying little gifts, you was taking each other out, and you was courting each other, and they're called dating. Well, let me give you a wake-up call. That was actually the love. Now, what they did is they attached their emotions to your actions, okay? Once they attach their emotions to those actions, they expect those actions to keep coming. But about a year into the relationship, after you start knocking boots, those actions stop. And then he say or she say, who in the world is this person? Where did they come from? I have no idea who this guy is or who this girl is. Because you've changed loving them. And you started treating them along the lines of the way this culture is telling how a man is supposed to act, how a woman is supposed to act. But when you get into your relationship, you can learn each other. They will tell you how to act. They will tell you what they want. And they will tell you what they like. And that's what you need to do. Just to give you an example, I was watching the movie Enemy of the State with Will Smith. And this guy is out. He wants to buy his wife a present. So he decides to get her what you would call a bra. So he goes to the store to ask for the bra, and the lady asks him what size. He says, oh, I don't know. He don't know her size. He played with those things every night. You know what I mean? And yet he don't know what size it was, you know? I mean, it just makes you laugh. Now, women have been used to dealing with love. Give a woman money and tell her to go buy stuff for her man. She'll dress him head to toe, and everything will fit perfectly. Give a guy the money and tell him to go dress his female, or he's in trouble. He don't know what it's petite or what kind of size they wear or what's their favorite color. I mean, this guy, he won't know anything, you know? So that's just a small example of love and acting according to how you're supposed to act when you're dealing with love. Love is the act that makes others feel good. And if you treat all of the people that surround you with acts that only make them feel good, boy, you have a lot of friends, you know? I always like to open up with the love thing. As you call in, I'm opening up your mics. So you can jump in at any time with a comment, or if you want to make a statement, or however, and all of your mics is open. The only thing I ask is that you be respectful of the other callers. Now, let me set the stage here, right? We're not here to debate anybody's opinion, all right? We're not here to debate anybody's belief system. If you have an opinion or have a comment, we would like to hear it. Because there's other people that feel like you do, and other people that, well, think like you do, and other people that don't think like you do. So the people that do think like you, they want to hear the comment, And the people that don't think like you, they want to hear it too, because they want to know that there's other people that have a different point of view. And we need to hear all points of view, okay? Now, we're not here to change anybody's mind. We're not here to change anybody's religion or anything like that there. Are we right? No. Are we wrong? No. We're giving out information. We're messengers. So we give out information, and basically we're going to give you our opinion. If you disagree with our opinion, speak up and let us hear it. We're not going to debate it with you, but if you disagree, just put it on the airwaves so we can hear it. And if you agree with it and you want to say something about that, you can do that too, okay? Now, I'm going to keep the conversation going, but remember, you can jump in at any time. All you have to do is press 1 on your, wait a minute, let's see here. Oh, okay. So, no, I thought I opened up a couple of mics, but I thought maybe I hit the wrong button, but I didn't. Just remember to press 1. Well, actually, you don't have to press 1. All you have to do is speak, because I'm opening up the mic. So your mic is automatically open when you call in, okay? And if there's any noise, anything in the background, you know, just make sure that you don't have no noise coming through so that we can hear what's going on if anybody has something to say, okay? Now, as we talked about love, I'll text you the main topics, okay? You can talk about any one of those topics or anything that you want. Doesn't matter. You want to talk about the moon falling or whatever you want to talk about, that's fine too, okay? Because this is open mic night. So you can talk about whatever you want, all right? So now let's talk just a little bit about diet. Diet is the next thing on the list here, okay? Yeah, I'm going to be talking all the time. So don't worry about interrupting me, or don't hesitate to jump in if you want to jump in if you have a question, okay? Now, based on my research, right, all of the chemicals in the body work together to make the perfect cell. Now, here's the question. Every 7 years, the body recreates every cell in the body, every 7 years. So if the body is recreating these cells, why are we dying at such an early age? Well, that's a good question. Now, if you're not eating properly, then when the body makes those cells, it's making defective cells and not perfect cells. So if you want your body to make the perfect cell, you have to eat perfectly, give the body what it needs. Now, my research says that the 68 to 80 minerals and nutrients that the body actually needs to make those cells. Now, this culture has us on a 3-meal-a-day diet. Each meal, based on what we're going to need for the entire day, is broken up into 3 meals. Well, that's an inefficient way to eat, because the stomach, I want you to think about this, it's just a new thought process, a new way to think about things. The stomach is like an oven. If you take the right ingredients and put a cake in the oven, when you get done after a certain amount of time, you will have a nice cake. But if you put that cake in the oven and leave certain ingredients out, you're going to have a problem. Either the cake going to fall, it ain't going to be sweet enough, or it's going to be too mushy. Something is going to be wrong with the cake if you don't put all the right ingredients in. Well, that's how the body works, and that's where your thought process should be. When I sit down to consume, what am I eating for? Am I eating to make muscles, or am I eating to lose weight? Am I eating to get fat, or am I eating to generate that perfect cell so I can live a long and healthy life, disease-free? You know what I'm saying? Because disease is the absence of ease of the body to create that perfect cell. That's what disease is. So if you're eating in a manner that will make that body create the perfect cell, then every 7 years, you will be getting younger instead of older. You won't look like an old prune by the time you get, I say my age, I'm telling about my age, but until you get old, when time you get old, you won't look like an old prune, you know? Now, just remember, this is open mic, so all the mics are automatically being open, so you can jump in anytime you're ready. As they call in, I'm opening up the mics, okay? Now, So we're talking about diet, right? Now, this is what I have discovered. There's five vegetables that contain 68 of the nutrients and minerals that the body needs, okay? And if you eat these five vegetables, you have to eat them all at the same time, because when you put these vegetables in your body, these vegetables are working to generate that perfect cell. And every 7 years, instead of your body making defective cells, where you're eating partial meals day in and day out, then your body will begin to make that perfect cell, okay? Now, normally I would ask you to push one to speak, but I'm opening up as you call in. I'm working kind of hard to keep up. As you call in, I'm opening up your mic. So your mic is open. You can speak anytime that you want, okay? So then we're talking about diet and that perfect cell. Now, you know, I'm a Bible buff. I'm a Bible thumper, so I always relate things back to the Bible, because there's a certain way that you have to read that book, and you have to read it with a divine mind. But anyway, we're talking about the diet. Now, here's how they tricked us in the book. It says that we were given herbs and fruit for meat. That's what the book said. Now, we're eating flesh and calling it meat. That flesh you're eating is not actually meat. Your fruits and vegetables, that's meat. That's why they say the meat of the potato. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what you should be eating. But they are feeding you with the words, turning things upside down, so you don't know who's on first or what's on third. So, hold on for a second. Oh, who's on first or what's on third? So I always like to, when I talk about diet, I always like to go through this, because if you study your charts, right, the protein, the riboflavin, all of the nutrients and stuff that you're eating, they go to work, they go hand in hand to help each other, because they help break down all the things. So you need everything in your body at the same time. You need all those nutrients in your body at the same time in order to have a perfect cell. Now, I used to take the one of the vitamins, right? But as I check how much nutrients and how much minerals is in each one of the items that they're offering, they're off balance. You take the one of the vitamins, you're not getting a balanced diet when you do that. Now, I'm going to list these five vegetables, okay? Now, remember, your mics are open, so you can jump in at any time, okay? Just be mindful of the noise, all right? I'm trying to keep up with the call that's coming as fast as I can open them up. Okay. Be mindful of the noise, because all the mics are open. It's open mic night. Now, if you have a comment or question, just jump in, okay? Just be mindful and courteous of the other people that are on the line. Now, we're not here to debate your opinion or what you believe, but we would like to hear it, okay? And that would be good. Okay, so now we're talking about diet. Here's the five vegetables. I'm going to have to shut one mic down because we got too much noise. Okay. Already stopped the noise. Okay, so we're good. Okay, I'm trying to open these mics up as fast as I can so that you're on the air. Now, remember, your mic is open, so you're on the air. Now, here's the five vegetables that I'm going to list. That if you eat these five vegetables, well, you need one cup a day, one cup of each vegetable on a 1,000-calorie diet. If you're on a 2,000-calorie diet, you need two cups of these vegetables each day. So you might have to eat that three meals a day, but you're eating a balanced meal every day. Now, here's the five vegetables. You have broccoli, collard greens, green peas, string beans, Brussels sprouts. Those are your five vegetables, okay? If you take all those five vegetables, eat them at the same time. Now, as far as the seasoning is concerned, right, I use turmeric. I use sage because sage has the vitamin B4. I use this is what I use for my season, and I use the season to enhance some of the nutrients that might not be up to par as far as the 68 nutrients and minerals that you need, okay? Use paprika. You can use paprika or cayenne paprika for the vitamin A. It's just about 3 or 4 milligrams off of the vitamin A, so that's why I use the paprika as a seasoning, okay? I use olive oil as a base, right? And then if you want a little more seasoning, put a little sea salt in there, something like that there. But that will give you all that you need. Now, I do eat rice. I add rice, brown rice to the diet because brown rice contains bran. And the body don't make enough bran. It's hard to get bran in the different things. But the brown rice contains bran. So if you eat the brown rice, you get the bran in your system, and that which is which produces the vitamin B4, okay? So that's the particular diet. And if you use this diet, okay, just try it for just a couple of weeks, and you'll see how you'll feel better, you'll look better, your skin, your tone, everything will be better. And most of all, your mind will begin to clear up. You begin to remember things. You begin to understand things more than you did before. You begin to get back into your divine self. You see what I'm saying? Well, I'm saying mind, but it's your brain. Your brain is actually going to clean up because your mind is perfect. Your mind is always perfect. But it's your brain that's going to, that the brain is going to clear up, you know, so that you can remember and think things over a long, better period of time. Okay, now that's the diet. Now, remember, these shows are being recorded. So if you want to, anything that you miss, you can go back later on, download the show, and record it, and you can listen to it again and get the copies of the diet and all that. Now, now that I've been through the diet, now the next time I go through the diet will be on what we call a health day, and I'll be more extensive, the nutrients and minerals and how they work together to make that perfect cell, and I'll tell you which ones work with which to help you and help your body developing that perfect cell. Remember, every 7 years, the body reproduces every cell in it. If you're not eating properly, your body will create defective cells. And that 3-meal-a-day diet, without having a balanced meal on each one, will will cause your body to produce a defective cell. Now, if you don't want to switch everything around right away, right, in the morning, okay, now, this guy, I don't know what's wrong with this guy. But in the morning, you start eating that breakfast where you get the eggs and the bacon and all that protein, right? Eat those 5 vegetables in the morning. And you'll see that your system will flow better during the rest of the day, even if you eat other stuff. But if you eat that in the morning, that will balance your system. And sometimes, if you're having trouble getting up in the morning, you're sort of sluggish, eat those 5 vegetables before you go to sleep. And when you wake up, you will really feel the difference. After about 2 days, you won't be sluggish. You'll be up. You have the energy. Be ready to run around and do what you have to do. But be mindful. Be mindful that the body is a slave and you its slave master. You're its master. And so you don't want to overwork it. You don't want to overdo the thing because the body will do whatever you tell it to do. Okay? Now, here's the next topic that we're going into. Now, this is going to be kind of tricky, right? And I remember, you can jump in anytime. All the mics are open, okay? This is going to be kind of tricky. Remember how they always say mind, body, and soul? Well, I'm going to give you a different thought process. Am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. It's just another way of looking at the information that you've been given all of your lives, okay? Now, it shouldn't be mind, body, and soul. It should be mind, spirit, and soul. Now, I'll tell you, I'm a Bible bro, so I'm going to take you back to the Bible to brush up on some of the thought processes that's in there that we're not given, okay? The soul is actually your physical body. I said, oh, my Lord, we don't hear so much about soul and got no soul. He got soul. Oh, my goodness. But the soul is actually your physical body. Now, this is something to think about, okay? He took the clay and breathed the breath of life into the clay, and the clay became a living soul. Think about that. Just think about it. The body is the soul. The breath of life is your spirit. So it should be mind, spirit, and soul. Now, the question that goes behind that is, well, what is the mind? Okay? Now, the mind and the brain are two different things. So we're going to talk about that for a minute. Now, remember, if you disagree, that's fine. Jump in and say so. If you have another thought process to go, that's fine. Jump in and say so. That's fine. It's okay. All right? But remember, I'm not going to debate you on it, but I would like to hear your opinion if you want to throw it out there. Okay? Now, what is mind? Now, you have a spirit, and the mind is connected to the spirit. And the mind is connected to the cosmos. You can get information from source. You don't need an intermediary, okay? The spirit is energy, okay? It's incorporeal energy. That's what the spirit is. And the incorporeal energy can't live in a corporeal realm without being in a corporeal form. That's why the spirit is in the body, okay? And the body is the corporeal form, and the spirit is your incorporeal self. Now, the brain is attached to the physical. The mind is attached to the spirit. That's why they say you can break a person's body. As long as you don't break their spirit, you can't break the person, because the spirit is the power. That's your power, because that's who you really are, your spirit. And the mind is a gas. It's chemicals that's more subtle than a subatomic structure of light, okay? That's how deep this thing is. Now, they're still having trouble. I'm talking about our modern scientists. They're still having trouble understanding the mind. Somebody want to come in? Go ahead. Oh, okay. And be mindful that your mic is open, all right? All your mics are open. So whenever you act like you're going to say something, I'm going to shut right up, because I really want to hear what you got to say, if you want to say something. But if you don't, just keep listening. That's fine, too, okay? Now, the mind is connected to the entire cosmos. The whole thing is that you don't need an intermediary to get your information from the cosmos. And when you start getting your information cosmically, this is when you're acting as your divine self. Now when you go into books like the Bible, the Quran, Asbi, Bhagavad Gita, Life and Teaching of the Master of the Far East, Tuzi Lamten Rapa, and the Third Eye, and all these books, if you're going in with your divine mind, the information will be different. You'll be able to see things different. And when you go in that Bible with your divine mind, the things you'll be able to see will actually amaze you, okay? Okay, so we're talking about mind, spirit, and soul. Not mind, body, and soul. Now, I don't want to have to start muting mics here. I got so many mics, so it'll take me a little while to find out who's making a noise. Also, right now, I'd like to take the time to thank everybody that has called in and that's listening. I really appreciate you calling and listening to what's going on. But what I'm trying to impart to you, right, is a different thought process, a different way of thinking about things. This culture gives us one thought process. And what we're trying to do is give you a different thought process, a different way of thinking about things. Now, one of the most important thought processes that all of the religious groups have the same, okay? Now, remember that your mics are open, and if you're, you know, you can always mute your phone so that the noise won't come through until you're ready to talk, okay? Now, the main thought process that all of the religious groups give us, they say, well, every religion is different. There's a thought process that all of them give you that puts you in a subservient position. That thought process, you were created. That's a tricky one. I know that's a tricky one. I say, wait a minute, man. I know I was created. You see what I'm saying? But energy, which is what you're made up of, cannot be created or the story. Google it if you want. All the scientists know that. Everybody know that. You know, well, not everybody, but all the scientists know that. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. So if energy cannot be created or destroyed, how are you created? You weren't. You are made up of the same substance that the entire cosmos is made up of. You are the universe expanding itself. This is why you're unlimited. The stuff that we did 10 years ago, man, you can't bring that up today. Everybody say, oh, man, that's old stuff. We're so far beyond that. What we did yesterday, we're going to outdo tomorrow. And what we're doing today, we're going to do more tomorrow. You are unlimited because of who you are. But they don't, well, when I say they, I'm talking about the 1%, okay? The 1%, they don't want you to know who you are. Because if you find out who you are, you begin to access all of that power that you have. Because, see, you don't have to pray to an intermediary because you're carrying power. This is one of the reasons why Yahshua said, he that eateth of me will become a son indeed, and greater works than I do, you will do. Because he knows who you are, because he knows who he was. Okay? Now, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about now, if you say, once you get the thought process that I was created, okay, that makes you less than and not equal to something. I think about this for a minute. That thought process makes you less than and not equal to something. So automatically you're in a subservient position, and every group, okay, and I'm not prejudiced against any group. Every group has that something that created you to show you, for you to worship. There's 100 different groups out here, and all of them got a different deity. Why are there so many deities if there's only one source? See what I'm saying? It's the thought process that you were created, that's what's creating the problem, okay? That's how they're manipulating you and controlling you, because you feel as though you're less than and you're not equal. So you spend your whole life looking for something greater than you. But here's what I'm here to tell you today. The greatest thing on the planet that you will ever see is in your mirror. I'm going to say that again because I don't think you heard that. The greatest thing that you will ever see, the most powerful thing that you'll ever see, is in your mirror. Now, if you have a problem, right, you can go and pray to an intermediary for it, or you can catch your next-door neighbor. Only $20. Oh, here you go. See what I'm saying? Because when you see somebody that looks like you, they're just as great as you, and they can help you with your problems, help you with your solution, with everything. If you know that, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be working, helping each other, trying to get through this journey, because you're on a wonderful journey. I mean, I don't know if anybody told you this, but the journey you're on is absolutely magnificent. Try to enjoy it every day. Find something to laugh about. Find something to smile about. Enjoy it, because what you think about, I know you don't heard this 100 times, what you think about, you bring about. Stop thinking about what you don't want. Guess what's going to happen if you keep thinking about what you don't want? That's what you're going to get. You ever hear yourself saying, oh, come on, this always happened to me. This always, because you're always thinking about it. Thinking about what you don't want. Focus your mind on what you want. Now, the next thing that we're dealing with, right? Okay, now remember the mic's open. You can jump in. Why are you so broke? Well, that's a good question, boy. I'm telling you. Why are you so broke? Now, this is what we try to impart to anyone who will listen, okay? The key to not being broke is how you're managing your money. Now, the 1% is not going to tell you how to manage your money so that you can become the 1%, because everybody can't be up there making millions and trillions of dollars, and dollars to go around. So somebody got to be down there making $10 an hour, somebody making $100 an hour, somebody making $500,000 a day, okay? So the key, just to begin, your journey. When you get out of high school, right? Now, a lot of you already have high school, so this is something that you can impart to your children. When you get out of high school, think in terms of a 50% budget. Save half your money. When you set your budget up as what kind of apartment you're going to get, what kind of house you're going to get, where you're going to live, only set it up for half your money. Go on a 50% budget. Think back to when you first start working. How much would you have if you'd have saved half of all that money? You'd have been pretty good. You'd have been in pretty good shape right now. See what I'm saying? But the 1% don't tell you that. They tell you to save 10%. But soon something happened, that 10% is gone, man. Soon an emergency come up, and that 10% flies like it's got wings. You know? So if you put yourself on a 50% budget. Now, here's the message that I'd like for you to depart to your children or any child that you can snatch that are listening. I used to be talking about children, they'd be sliding towards the door trying to get out there. But they got the message, and a lot of them are following that 50% budget. But here's the message that I would like for you to depart to your children, right? When they get out of school, tell them to get two jobs. Most jobs pay about $10 an hour. It's kind of easy to find a job making $10 an hour. Live off one, save the other. Do that for 2 years. You're making $10,000 on each $10,000 a year on each job. That'll give you $20,000. Sign up for the sheriff's sales or the bank foreclosures, right? But once you do that, then you'll be able to purchase property. The best thing to get when you first start out is a three story structure. Live on the first floor, rent the top two out. This will give you what we call residual income, okay? Now you have residual income. Residual income is somebody else, okay? Residual income is money that you make without you working, okay? That takes us into economics. I didn't really want to go into economics on the show, but economics is somebody else working and paying you. And when you get that property, somebody else is working and paying you rent. See, they got your set up to go get that apartment. Well, if you have to have some place to live, okay, get the apartment. But get something where it's only consuming half your income, all right? Because if you go further than that, then you're living beyond your means. If you can't save half your income, you're living beyond your means. And elders, adult, please, don't be in a hurry to push your children out of the house. Let them stay there until they get themselves set up, you know. Make sure they give you a few dollars to pay for the electric and all that. But let them stay there until they get themselves set up, until they're able to buy that first property rather than start renting right away, you know. Because that rent, you don't get that money back. It's gone. It's gone, okay. So if your children do that, and once they do that and get a few properties set up, now they want to go to college. They got money to go to college without being $60,000 to $80,000 in debt by the time they get out of college, struggling to pay off their loans while they're making that little $60,000 a year. It's rough, you know? And maybe they might have to delay college for a year or two, okay, but that's okay. You know, as long as they have the wherewithal that they're going to go. Now, those of you who have the money to pay for your children's college while they're setting themselves up, that's good too, because that's your job. You're supposed to be working towards helping your children stand on your shoulders, okay? And that makes a big deal, you know? So talk to your children. Give them that message about the 50% budget, or any child that you can Shanghai and give it to them. Give them that message about the 50% budget and try to get into real estate, and it will make a big difference. Remember, economics is somebody else working and paying you. Now, if you don't, if you have a job, right, a job is not economics. A job is a way to get economics, right? I'm just throwing some stuff out there so that you don't have to be broke all your life. It's not necessary, okay? when the government talks about jobs, it's economics for the government because you're working and paying taxes, right? Think about it. You're working and paying taxes. So a job is government for the economics because somebody is working and paying them. That's why they talk about jobs when they talk about economics. But for you, a job is not economics. A job is a means to get economics. But you have to manage and save your money properly in order to get there. Okay? Now, okay, now we talked about everything. We got about 20 minutes left. So now remember, all of the mics is open. We got quite a few mics open. So it's okay. If you want to jump in at any time or have a question or give a comment or shout out, if you have a business or something, you want to talk about your business, that's fine too. Okay? Now, the next thing that I want to go into, right? I did it last week, but I want to go into this again because it's such a different thought process that you're not used to this type of thinking, okay? The stuff I'm telling you is from the Kemetic Mystery School. This is stuff that they knew that hasn't been passed down to us because this culture has interrupted the flow of information from our past, from our ancient culture, so we're not getting it, okay? We're talking about slavery. You, as an individual, your physical body is a slave and will always be a slave. The question is, who is the slave master? You are the slave master. You're going to always be in a slave master relationship between you and your physical self. That physical body will do whatever you ask it to do. Whatever you tell it to do, that physical body will do it. That's why some people jump off bridge. I know that body didn't want to go. They had no choice. When you say, okay, body, off you go. Everybody says, oh, Lord, have mercy. I really want to go off this bridge because it's going to hurt. You know, but as the master of the physical body, you wanted out. So you said, I'm going. So you throw that body off the bridge just to let you know that you are the master of that slave and your body will always be a slave. Now, the question is, who will you allow to assume the position of slave master? That's the question. When you go to work, you're allowing the people on your job or whoever you're working for to assume the position of slave master, but you have to allow it. That body will not do anything without your permission, without you allowing it to do it. That's why in the army, if they torture, don't work. You can take fingers off, cut the guy's feet off, or whatever. But if that guy decides he's not saying anything or she's not saying anything, you can torture them until the sun falls out. They're not going to tell you a thing because you are the master of that slave, and the body will always be a slave. That's why Yeshua said, he that have helped the least of me has helped me, because he knows he was in his physical form. In his physical form, he knows he's a slave, and as a slave, he knew he had one job, to help and serve other slaves. And that's what he was doing all the time that he was here, helping to serve other slaves. Because he knew, see what I'm saying, that when they came to him, that the people that came to him allow him to assume the position of slave master while they were with him. And he made sure that he did everything he could to take care of those slaves. He fed them, he healed them, he did everything. And this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be working with one another because you're saying we're all in the same boat, all in the same boat. You're all slaves, okay? And you are the master in control of that slave. So you're definitely going to be in a slave-master relationship all your life. So when people say, I don't want to be a slave no more, what they're actually saying is that they don't want the person that's trying to assume the position.
Excuse me, can you interrupt for a second?
You want
to
jump? Hello?
I'm James's son. And
I can hear you.
I feel like this really is just a huge testament to the human psyche, because I feel as though humans just want to feel like they're bigger than what they are, whether it be the universe, the part of the universe, or not floating in space or something like that. It's mostly just a part of it's mostly just semantics at this point. But what you do, you shape these mediocre things into something more and make people feel like they're more than something, and that's really respectable. But I can't help but say that it just doesn't feel right saying that I'm part of the universe or I'm part of something huge. And this connects to everything else, like religion and everything else as well, because you just want to be a part of something else, you know? You want to be part of God's plan, or you want to know that God's looking over you. This one omnipotent being is caring for you. Or you want to feel like your job is empowering you, or I don't know. I just want to get that off my chest.
Okay, well, that's a very interesting thought process. So basically, what I'm understanding is that you feel as though you're less than something? You still there? Okay. That's a very interesting thought process. And go ahead.
What I'm trying to say is people aren't really slaves. They just want to feel like they're part of something else, a part of the big picture, you know?
Okay, I understand that, and that's part of the psychological profile that people of high consciousness are giving to people, and I sort of agree with that profile. And that's why I impart it on the airwaves every Sunday. I don't want my children to think that they're less than and not equal to anything. See what I'm saying? But see, if that's where you live at, that's okay. Because wherever you live at, that's where you're supposed to be. And it's not my position to change where you live because it could cause damage, you know? Psychologically, if I change where you live, okay, and because that's not my job, that's not my intention. See, and now based on the thought process that you just gave out, there's a whole lot of us, okay, that lives right where you live at, and that's okay. Okay, and I think you should stay where you are until you're ready to not stay where you are, and it's okay, and it's beautiful that you know where you are. And you're comfortable being where you are, and that's fine. Okay, so with that, I don't know if there's anybody else that has a similar purpose that would like to comment, but that would be good because we want to hear your comments. We want to know what you're thinking. We want to know what your thought process is. Okay, because we're here from the age of I'll just say one to 90, you know, and the thought processes that we go through is going to change because the way I think now definitely wasn't the way I thought 20 years ago, and the way I thought 20 years ago definitely wasn't the way I thought 30 years ago, and so forth and so on, you know. So that's one thing that we have to respect, and I think that's very important. That's why the act of love is so important. Because we really have to respect a difference, or what seems to be a difference of opinion, and allow those thought processes to come to us and embrace them. Because it's very important that a person feel strong enough about their own position that they're willing to share it with others. And that's what we like. We like for you to share your position. Whether you disagree or not, that's fine. We want to hear it, especially if you disagree. We want to hear it. So, and with that, I want to thank you very much for sharing. And all those who are on the line, you know, we have quite a few callers today. All those who are on the line, I'd like to thank you for calling in and spending this 1 hour with your brother Elohim. And we will be here every Sunday, okay? We'll be talking about different things, and the thought process that I'm imparting is exactly what the sister expressed, okay? She's right on the money, right on point. I'm telling people, yeah, you're part of this thing, man, and because I want people to know that they can actually change their reality, you know? They can work hard. They can change what they have. They can change what they do, you know? And so this is what we do every Sunday. So this is my thought process. And if you have any information that you would like to share, no matter what it is, please don't hesitate to share, because you're not going to hurt my feelings, trust me, because I love to hear opposing points of view, you know, because there are a lot of opposing points of view. Oh, yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
So this principle also, like what I was talking about before, it also extends to, you know, those conspiracy theorists, you know, the ones that say the earth is flat and the Illuminati is putting lead in our drinking water, stuff like that. People want to think that they're part of something bigger, that they're leaving an impact on the world by sharing this information that may or may not be true. But in actuality, they're just a ripple in the sea that is the universe.
Well, there's a lot of people that particular. Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, this is Brother Will.
This
is Brother Will. I am, bro. Yeah, this is Brother Will.
Oh, yes, sir. How you feel, my brother? Go ahead. Do you have a comment? Oh, I know you just tuned in here.
Yeah, I do have some comments. The theory of the world being round is also just a theory, too. That's not a fact. I knew the lady just made a comment talking about a conspiracy theory about the flat earth. Well, the round earth is also a theory and cannot be proven fact as well. It was just because it was put in a book does not make it true. That seems to be our problem, is nobody wants to do their own homework. We are just so mentally lazy that somebody has to tell us what to do. All these things are just theory. So everything out here about that is a theory. And there's no proof that the world is round at all. Matter of fact, that's total bullshit, but I'm going to leave it at that.
I like to jump right in here. And this is what I teach my children, or what I tell my children, because I'm not really their teacher. This is what I tell my little ones, okay? If me, you, and your mother get together to figure out what we're going to buy from the grocery store, that's a conspiracy. We're conspiring to go to the grocery store. And anytime Congress gets together, that's a conspiracy. It's not so some deep mystery when they use the term conspiracy. There's conspiracies going on every day in our lives. It don't have to be bad. It's like my children. I know that my children are always up to something, but it don't always have to be bad, you know? So a conspiracy is just when three or more people get together to figure out what they're going to do, what they're going to do next. They're conspiring to do something. And maybe they're just going to the grocery store. Maybe they're going to watch a football game, but that's a conspiracy too. So when people use the term conspiracy, it don't always have to be that they're conspiring to do something bad. You know, people conspire to do something good. That's a pretty big turn, you know. And we only got about six minutes.
Well, the fact about whether the Earth is flat or round, that's not really like a theory or not like that, because you can actually travel the globe. Like I did 9 years in the Navy, and I used to be a gyro technician, and that was my job, navigation. And I've circumnavigated the world twice, and there was no edge or nothing to fall off of or anything like that. And the way the gyro contest worked was on the fact of the Earth being round, and I painstakingly navigated it knot by knot, longitude by longitude, mile by mile, around the whole Earth, and I've done it twice. So it's not that I would believe that the Earth is flat. I've actually circumnavigated it twice. Now, if you know somebody go to the edge of the Earth or go under the Earth, then that would be like a different story. But that's just from my perspective.
Wait, hold on.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question to this fact. All right, now. The eyes are limited because they're physical. Anything on the physical realm is limited. It's not eternal. So the eyes has a limited ability. Okay? So if you were to set an object out in front of you, maybe as far as the eye can see, possibly 2-3 miles or 4 or 5 miles or whatever, depending on people's eyesight. All right. Now, according to the global, they're saying it's a curvature. So the reason why you can't see past that from your physical eyes is because it's supposed to be a curvature according to the globe process. Now, all right. So if that be the case, that is the case if you're just doing it from the limited vision of your eyes because your eyes are limited. Now, but if you take a Kessler stream object, you would be able to pick it up whether it's 5 miles, 10 miles, 20 miles out. So where is the curvature on that? That's my question. And so if the Earth is globe, it should be a curvature regardless of the telescope or the physical eyes.
Well, that's all relative to size. So, you know, that's all relative to size. But what you can do is it's like for instance, you can see like about 6 or 7 blocks down the street, right? And you can't see no farther than that, but you can travel to the end of those 6 blocks and you can't see back where you came from, but you can still see another 6 blocks ahead.
But
you know what I mean?
We got about three minutes here. So basically where we at is that one person's thought process leads him to see that the world is round. And another person's thought process leads them to see that that might not necessarily be so. So now what you each have to do is be comfortable with your own thought process. And we have to leave it right there, okay? Because here, we're not here to debate or change a person's thought process. We're only here to give our thought process and our opinion, which is what's been going on.
Brother L, I wasn't here to debate, brother. That was just a question. That's not a debate.
I understand, yeah, and that's fine.
And to finish that point, brother, and I'm gonna leave it at that. What the brother was saying was actually correct by going 6-7 blocks, but one thing he left out is that the point of origin, which is point zero, changes because your eyesight is 7 blocks down from when that point. So that's irrelevant.
Okay. Well, your point is well made and well taken. Okay. So now we got about 2 minutes left. So right now, I would like to thank everyone that's called in. I really appreciate you calling in and giving your opinion because a lot of people don't feel comfortable enough where they live at to give their opinion. And remember, where you live at is where you live at, and that's fine. And nobody's here to change where you live at. Okay? So now, as I say in the beginning, am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. We're just giving you information, giving you a different way to think about things, a different way to understand things or to see things. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's what we try to do every Sunday, 3 o'clock. We'll be here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. We'll be dealing with different topics. Now, we're going to go through quite a few different books, Bhagavad Gita, Ajpita, Kura. We go through all the books, taking different passages from the books, throwing them out there so that we can get different points of views. Now, don't be afraid to give us your point of view if it's different. We want it. We want to hear it. Just remember, we're not trying to change your point of view, but each person gives their point of view, and that's good. And your points are well taken. Now we can Google, we can research, we can do what we need to do for the different points of view and see how they come out. Now, we got about 54 seconds here, and this has been a very interesting hour. And like I said, I appreciate you spending the time with me. It's very important that I know that somebody, no matter where I go or what I do, that somebody loves me and somebody listens to what I'm saying. Whether they like it or not, well, that's okay. But at least they give me enough respect to hear it. And that's what I'm talking about. We need to give each other enough respect to hear what the other person is saying. So, and that's where everything is. 10 seconds left. Remember the call-in number is 516-543-9230. I put that out there so those who download the show will be able to get the call-in number, and they'll be able to call in next time. And remember, we're here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. We'll be here like clockwork. And like I said, I want to thank all those who called in. I want to thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate it. And with that, I'd like to say I love you, and we'll see you next Sunday, okay?